Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.
Today we're going to be talking about waking up. You've heard the expression, wake up and smell the coffee. Well, Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians chapter 5, says, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Today we're going to be talking about waking up and staying awake. And here we go.
Welcome to Shedding Shackles. Today's topic is Live a Meaningful Life. And now, here's your Shedding Shackles host, Roland Trujillo.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. I'm stopping by to enlighten you. And in order to be enlightened, you have to be awake and then become aware. And I'm going to describe what unpack what I just said so you can understand it. Because I want you to clearly see by the end of today's program or at some moment during the program, you'll just flash on it and it'll suddenly be clear to you. I want you to see that for human beings, there are basically three states of consciousness. Now, this all sounds very esoteric, but it's not going to be. It's going to be very practical, and it could be the most important message that you've ever heard in your life. Some of you are tuning into this program for the first time. You've never heard it before. You just happen to have the radio on. So this could be really good. You're not going to hear this probably hardly anywhere else. So here we go. The three states of consciousness. First of all, the one that most of us are in most of the time, and this is going to surprise you, but it's actually a hypnotic trance. It can be very mild, so that you don't even know that you're in hypnotic. You don't even know, and other people don't know either. But the way you can let me just keep it simple. A very clever hypnotist who is very knowledgeable and who does presentations to large corporations, they invite him in and pay him a lot of money to come to their corporate staff meeting, yearly staff meetings, for example, to talk because he's very entertaining. He does stage hypnosis, but he also talks about what's going on. So, he said that most people are hypnotized most of the time. And we walk around, and this thing sets us off, and that thing sets us off. And this thing upsets us, and this thing exasperates us. And we go around, and we react and react and react. And then we do things sometimes we don't even know why we did them. What did we do that for? You don't even know why you did something sometimes. What'd I do that for? You get really angry and then you break something? What'd I do that for? Why did I even get angry? Well, you're not paying attention. You're totally lost in thoughts and you stumble on your carpet. How did that happen? You leave home and you forgot your wallet. Oh my God, how did that happen? You weren't totally there. You were lost in thoughts. And why are you lost in thoughts? Because being lost in thoughts very much goes along, and lost in imagination very much goes along with being hypnotized.
You're listening to Shedding Shackles with Roland Trujillo, Christian stress management on the radio for over 34 years. Are you feeling stressed out? Do you find yourself worrying a lot? Maybe Christian stress management could help. Want to find out more? Why not check out Shedding Shackles with Roland Trujillo, which airs weekends on this station.
Shedding Shackles podcasts are available at Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back. And now, here's Roland.
Now, the next state that we want to mention, which is a better state to be in. See, when you're hypnotized, you are not in control of your own life. You think you are, but you're not. You are at the beck and call of people, influences, authorities, people like your mom, people like your dad, people like some teacher, people like some boss that you hated. People, you're at the beck and call of them. They know how to get to you. They know how to push your buttons. They know how to upset you. And yeah, they also know how to mollify you or assuage your guilt or take away your anxiety. But think about it. If somebody can take away your anxiety, doesn't that mean that they have some kind of control over you? And if they can take away your anxiety, then couldn't they then also be the ones that could introduce the anxiety or put you in a state where you begin to feel anxious? You see what I mean? So if there's a bully, here comes somebody that looks just like your, I don't know, your parent or your older brother, somebody who used to hit you and slap you around when you were a kid and put you down verbally. Some people, see, when you're a bully, doesn't necessarily have to, you know, strike you. A bully can intimidate you, can put you down even with just a look or words. How many of you had someone in your home when you were a kid who could use words in a vicious, vicious way? And their words stung and hurt and upset you and made you. You see what I mean? All right. So here comes somebody 20 years later that looks like that person or sounds like that person. Immediately, if you were intimidated, which you undoubtedly were, then you fall into a little deeper trance than you were already in. And here they come, and they look at you with that look, and they say something with a smirk on their face that's kind of cruel, and you cower, and you're afraid. But then they smile, and they pat you on the back and say, "Hey, you're my friend." And now you feel better. The bully accepted you. The bully is not going to do anything to you. So now you feel better. You could almost, you're almost grateful to the bully. You almost like, could be the, like the bully because he didn't hurt you. Instead, he smiled at you. You see what I mean? All right. So now let's get back to the state of consciousness that is better than being in this hypnotic state. And it is to be fully awake. And that's where you get the classic way. Well, first of all, a hypnotized person will gradually awaken by themselves. They'll start to come up out of the trance to a lighter state of trance and lighter and lighter. And they will wake up of themselves unless they want to remain hypnotized. And why would they want to remain hypnotized? Because they can't face reality, or they can't face the pain of seeing what they did when they were hypnotized, or because they're afraid of what they might have done when they were hypnotized, see, or because coming back to reality, to the sheer realization that you're not living your own life, that you're out of control, that other people have more power over you than you. You do yourself, that you can't hardly can cope. If you don't want to face that, you will want to go back down into the hypnotic trance. And you do that either by being near someone who puts you in a trance. It could even be a bully, and you have a codependent relationship. But it could also be marijuana. It could be alcohol. It could be drugs. It could be television. It could be music. It could be internet. It could be a video game. See, something that pulls you into it. It could be study. It could even be work if you're misusing work hypnotically to get lost in it. You don't have to face the reality of seeing your own life in all of its sorry state. You see what I mean? All right. So if you want to wake up, then you will gradually wake up, and then you are awake.
You're listening to Shedding Shackles, helping you navigate life's challenges with poise and confidence. If you have a question or need advice, call our listener call-in line at 510-455-8851. That's 510-455-8851.
Now, another way that people wake up is the classic wake-up call. You know, the morning after the night before, or when you look at your boyfriend's phone and you see there's pictures of other women on his phone, see? Or the company suddenly says, well, we're going out of business soon and we're going to lay everybody off, see? Or, you know, you have the big diagnosis of some life-threatening thing. Those are big wake-up calls. Okay, big wake-up calls. And then suddenly you're awake. It's like getting somebody splashing aftershave in your face. See, you're suddenly awake. You see your boyfriend for what he is. See, you see the security that you thought you had security in your job. Now you see that you didn't. You see that and you're awake. All right. So being awake is good because you're closer to reality and you see things the way they are. See, when you're hypnotized and you're lost down there and you keep getting lost in your thoughts because people know how to push your buttons. They know how to get you lost in your thoughts with prediction they make or with scary things that they say about you or mean things that they say about you or lies that they say about you. See, or on the other hand, with false promises for you, they know how to get you into your imagination. And there you feel a bit more secure in your imagination. But the only thing is you're separated from reality. So while you're separated from reality, they can pick your pocket. See, if you're walking down the street and there's something going on, it's very interesting. Oh, what are those two people doing? And there's a crowd and you look, peek over the shoulders of the people in front of you, and there's something going on. It's so fascinating. While you're doing that, somebody can steal your phone out of your purse or take your wallet, see, because you were so lost in that fascinating thing. So when you're lost in your imagination or lost in your daydreams, then you're not aware of reality, and then things go wrong because you don't see what's really going on. You know, you're going out with some guy and you want to believe that he's a really nice guy, but he's really not. And you don't want to see it. You don't want to admit it. See? So then he takes advantage. He gets your money and all kinds of stuff. And then when you wake up, you see the truth. All right, well, you're closer to reality. So then you can put a stop to your relationship with him. You can regain your dignity. You can protect your assets so that people won't do something. See, you can take steps to protect yourself. And then people see that you're awake and they see they can't take advantage of you anymore. So they won't try. Or if they try, they can't get away with it. So you're safer in that respect because you're awake instead of being asleep. You see? So that is good if you can bear it. It's good. See? But then there's another state that's even higher. This is the state that you must find. This is the state that you must find. It's the state of being aware. You're not only awake, but you're also aware. And when you are aware, you have access to intuition, to what you wordlessly know in your heart. You can be inspired, you can gain understanding, you have insights and realizations, and you know without even knowing how you know. You see somebody and they're coming up to try to run some scam on you, and you can see, even as they're approaching, before they even start, somehow you know that they're up to no good. And so you just say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm kind of busy, and then you just take leave because you already knew. You see what I mean? Somebody's coming along with some deal, and it's too good to be true, and you can see. you see that when they're telling you about this thing and how good it is and everything, you can see the sly movement of their eyes, or you detect something. You don't know what it is, but you detect something and it makes you back off. Well, that's a protection. That's your intuition. That's an intuition is from God. See, human beings, he gives intuition. Animals, he gives instinct. But human beings have something far greater. Intuition. He gives you present sight and a little bit of foresight. And it also gives you hindsight, where you can see where you made a boo-boo and a little mistake, and now you see what you did, and the next time you won't do it anymore. You have hindsight. You see what I mean? Well, that's called intuition. And you just know. You don't even know how you know, but you just know. And you somehow just know that God exists. You know that he's there. You somehow sense that he's watching out for you. You somehow sense that he has a plan for you. You don't know what it is. You don't know what it is, but you know that somehow he knows of you. You are known by him. And it gives you comfort. And you just know that. It's nothing you read. It's nothing you studied. It's nothing anybody said. You just know. And you live life that way. And you live moment to moment. And you have faith because you know that when the next moment arrives, if you have a need to know, somehow you will know. See, that's faith. And it comes faith in realization, faith in intuition, faith in what you know in your heart, faith in, and ultimately, when you see, and you know what's right, and you know some things are not right, and you just don't, when things aren't right, you don't do them. And you're just about to say something, but somehow you're restrained and you're not supposed to say it. And other times you go through the door and you don't know why, you just go in a certain direction. And it turns out to be the direction that you were supposed to go. You live life intuitively, spontaneously, and then you become a Noah, a Mozart, a Moses. You become a Paul. You become a Ruth. You become somebody who lives spontaneously and intuitively. You become an Einstein. You become that kind of a person.
Call Roland now at 510-455-8851. That's 510-455-8851.
And so it's beyond culture, and it's not subjective either. 1 + 1 = 2. See? A parrot, you can teach a parrot to say 1 + 1 = 2. You can also teach a child to say 1 + 1 = 2. But the child can also see that 1 + 1 = 2. And then later, you can say to the child, what's 1,001 + 1? And the child can say 1,002, because the child grasps the principle. And then that principle, it's the same for everyone around the world. It's the truth. Remember, isn't it in the Declaration of Independence? These words themselves were inspired. These words came by inspiration. We hold these truths to be self-evident. See, the truth is self-evident, all right, for people with clear eyes. Little children, sometimes they can see with bright, clear eyes. And mean people, if you have a mean babysitter or a mean aunt, see, the little child looks at them with those clear, bright eyes, and the babysitter, the mean babysitter, the mean aunt can't stand it. See, they can't stand being seen with the innocent eyes of a child. So, Because the truth, being seen, see the truth makes us uncomfortable, but that's reality, and that's being awake. But I want you to see that beyond awake is also aware, where you can have a sixth sense. You can have a hunch. People in law enforcement or the military, they know about you have a hunch about something, or a sixth sense when danger is present, and it's a protection. See? So that is how you must learn to live close to reality, and then close to the creator of reality, close to truth, and the creator of all truths. See? And then you will be able to live a meaningful life of purpose. But when you walk around lost at some level of hypnotic trance, you're separated from truth. You're far from it. So you may hear words of truth, but they just kind of mix in with your imaginative state, mix in with all your preconditioning and things that you learned and programming down there. It just mix in as knowledge. You see the difference between knowledge that's alive and knowledge that's dead, between living truth and truth that's just words. See the difference? All right. So I hope I've helped you to see that you need to find this aware state.
Can you maintain a neutral state of awareness? A meditation moment. I'm Jeremiah Trujillo. Sometimes you need to rely on those that are greater than you are, and you need not worry about not knowing. There's a special joy that comes from being a little child and relying on your parents' plan for you. You can rediscover this joy even when you are in an advanced age, if you follow what you wordlessly know is right in your heart. Find more inspiration for your day at SheddingShackles.com.
Where you're awake and then aware, you need to find it. So how do you find it? Well, you have to be willing to wake up. And when you wake up, then you need to be willing to stay awake. And I think it may be that you probably need God's help for that. Because most of us have done a lot of not so good things in our life. We hurt other people, and we were mean to people, and we betrayed them, and we hated people, especially we hated people. You hated your mom, or you hated your dad, or your brother, and you hated somebody at school. And yeah, maybe they were cruel. They gave you reason to hate them, but yeah, we're not supposed to hate, and when you hate, it separates you from love. And then you don't want to see it. You don't want to see it. You don't want to see the truth about your own wrong. But if you are willing to see the truth about your own wrong, if you say, yeah, I've been wrong, I admit it, I'm not going to hide from it anymore. I'm not going to pretend anymore. And I just want to know the truth. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I just want to know the truth. And when you have that kind of an attitude, then when the truth begins to dawn, and you see the truth and you don't duck it, you don't run from it, you just see it, then you know what? Something very wonderful happens. Something very wonderful happens. You feel a regret, an honest regret when you see the truth about yourself. And it's painful, but you don't mind seeing it because you want to know, you want to see the truth, and you want to come clean. And so you see the truth, and you have tears coming down your cheeks, and you may sob. You see the truth, but the truth is sweet. You know the truth doesn't lie. The truth doesn't lie about your own wrong. So you see you're wrong. But then the beautiful part of that is that this it's called repentance. This being sorry is a response to God's truth. It's a response to truth with a capital T. It's a response to his chastising, his presence. And you realize then that he knows you, and he knows that you made a mistake in the past. You didn't want to, but you did. And he doesn't hate you for it. You see that there's forgiveness somehow. He just wants you to see. It's like the story of the prodigal son who went away and wasted everything and messed everything up and came back to his father. And the closer he got to the father's house, the closer he got to the father's door, the harder and harder it was for him to have the courage to knock on the door. And finally he knocks on the door and his father answers. And he says, "Father, I betrayed you and I did a lot of bad things and I'm sorry. I'm not worthy to be your son." And the father says, "Son, I know." He said, "I've just been waiting for you to come back and be sorry. And now we can be friends again. I have regained my son. Come, let's celebrate. It's so beautiful." And that's the way it will be. Not because I say so, but because that's the way it will be by the grace of God. Until next time, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.sheddingshackles.com. You'll find lots of free, helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is sheddingshackles.com. Please remember that Shedding Shackles is listener-supported. Thank you.
Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.